Welcome again to our study on the Epistle of Paul to Galatians. As we said in our introduction in the first section, this is a very dynamic epistle. It's an epistle that turned the world upside down in the hands of Martin Luther. He wrote and wrote and wrote thesis after thesis on this beautiful epistle. And what is the theme? The just shall live by the faith of the Son of God. And we are looking now at Galatians chapters 3 and 4 in part 2 of our study. And as we mentioned, you know, in part 1, the Galatian church had received with alacrity the wonderful message of the gospel. The just shall live by his faith. But afterwards, there came others from Jerusalem, Jews, who corrupted that gospel. And in corrupting that gospel, they brought in, as it were, what Paul says, another gospel, yet not another gospel. It was a gospel, all right, but they mixed it with other teachings, and therefore the purity of the gospel, the power of the gospel, was lost. Now, we are going to look into chapters 3 and 4 now and see how the Apostle Paul continues to tackle this problem. And chapter 3, he doesn't mince his words. He's a bit terse when he writes. And he says, "O foolish Galatians." In other words, he said, "Well, where is your wisdom? You've lost your wisdom." And he goes on to say, "Who hath bewitched you?" And he's suggesting now that another spirit is coming to preach to the Galatians and to cause them no end of problems. Now, we perhaps today do not have this exact problem in the church. We do not have the Jews coming into our churches and say, "Well, you have to be circumcised." No, but we do have problems in our churches with people bringing the world into the church and corrupting the purity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is something that we have to understand. You know, the Apostle Paul uses this terminology. You know, if I please men, then I cannot be the servant of Jesus Christ. And essentially, what was happening in the Galatian church was that they were attempting to please these other people with their ideas. And that's very dangerous. And we have to consider this question: whose church is it? Whose church is it? And surely it's the church of Jesus Christ. Well, therefore, we exhort him. We go by his, if I could say this, his word, not the word of men. You know, people say, "Well, what would please people in the church?" Well, come now. That's very dangerous indeed. This is what the Galatian church were doing. They were seeking to please these other Jews by saying, "All right, let's have everybody circumcised. Let's have everybody keeping the ceremonial law of Moses that nobody could keep anyway. And, you know, we'll please people and they'll stay in the church." Well, now, this is a problem today, that pastors are looking around them and saying, "Well, what will please the people? If we do this in our church, well, it will please people. if we don't be too severe, if we don't talk about sin, if we don't talk about the follies and evil of homosexuality, if we don't talk about alcohol, if we don't talk about drugs, then people will feel comfortable. In other words, if we do not mention sin, then people will feel comfortable in our churches and come. I'm saying that is wrong. As a minister of Christ, we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We preach what he says. If you indeed love people, you will tell them the truth. And I do not hesitate to tell the truth to this generation and past generations, for I am over 80 years of age, and I have not varied in preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Homosexuality will take you down to hell. Adultery is very clear. No adulterer in the kingdom of heaven. And we're going to look at that later on in these sessions. But my point is this. The church is a church of Jesus Christ, not the church of the people. It's not a people's church. It's Christ's church. And in his church, there is the word of God that should be preached. You know, writing to his beloved, shall I say, son in the faith, Timothy, Paul says all scripture is given by inspiration of God, that the man of God shall be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. In other words, the man of God must live by the Bible, and he must preach what the Bible says. Otherwise, he's going to have a problem. You know, I've been to heaven, I've been to hell. And I want to tell you this. Yes, God's ministers are in heaven who have walked faithfully in the pathway of righteousness. But those who have corrupted the gospel and have taught men so to do, they're in hell. And their congregations with them. You know, the word of God tells us the truth and gives us the truth and shows us the truth and shows us the pathway. You know, what did Jesus say? He said, narrow is the way that leads to life everlasting. Narrow is the way, not a broad path, but a narrow path. And the narrowness of that path is brought out by the Apostle Paul, as well as the Lord Jesus Christ himself, showing that we have to live a life of righteousness, a life of holiness, if we wish to inherit the kingdom of God. Now, that is why, you know, opening chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Another spirit, not the Holy Spirit, was indeed teaching them. And he said that you should not obey the truth. Oh, what a danger that is. What a danger it is for pastors to say, well, we won't mention sin. It will make people uncomfortable. Well, that's the purpose of the gospel, to make people uncomfortable in their sin, that they'll leave their sin and come and walk in the pathway of righteousness. Well, now, look what he continues to say. And he said, you know, you've rejected Christ. You've crucified him again. And then he said this in verse 2, this only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? He said, let's go back to where you started. And where did you start? Well, you received the Spirit of God. You were born again by the Spirit of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Then he goes on and says this. And he said, you know, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? You know, there's a tremendous cry in the heart of a Christian when he comes to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. There's a tremendous cry after that to be holy. And when I was young, you know, I had that cry for holiness. And I would read many books by many authors trying to show me the pathway to holiness. But they so often, you know, projected a pathway that was governed by the law, do's and don'ts, you see. And this is what the Apostle Paul says. You know, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? We couldn't save ourselves. And to attempt to be holy by ourselves is also foolish. We began our Christian life by faith in Jesus Christ. And it's through that faith that we can be made holy. And he continues and says this. You know, in verse 5, he that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he by the works of the flesh or by the hearing of faith? And here in the Galatian church, as in many of our churches worldwide, I mean, we see miracles, we see healings, and just recently I was in contact with some people were talking to me, you know, in the vast subcontinent of India. They were telling me of people that had been raised from the dead last year and this year too. Wonderful. It presages what we're going to see worldwide, the outpouring of the Spirit of God, mighty miracles. But how are those people healed? Well, they're healed by faith in Jesus Christ, not by any works, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Well, now, let us consider this, you see. If that be the case, well, then it is folly to go back to the ways of man. If we began in the Spirit, we began by faith in Jesus Christ, well, let me assure you that having begun right, you have to continue in the right way. You cannot turn aside and think that having begun in the faith of Jesus Christ, that you're going to be made perfect by the works of the law. You cannot be. So he continues here now. And I just want to say, you know, as I said before, that there's a great cry in the heart of a Christian for holiness after he's saved. I'm just going to give you a very quick summary of holiness as Paul brings it out in Colossians chapter 3. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3, shall we? And here in this epistle, you know, he gives us the key to holiness, which is all by faith in Jesus Christ. And he says in verse 5 of chapter 3 of Colossians, mortify therefore, put to death your members which are upon earth, fornication, uncleanness, and so forth. You know, these works of lust. And he said, they are to be put to death. And essentially, what does that mean? Mortify, well, it's the old French word, mourir, you know, to put to death. And if I could give an illustration, you know, here's my left arm. Now, if I want to put to death that arm, there's two things I must do. Number one, I must cut off all food to that arm. And so putting a tourniquet here, it would stop the blood flowing, which carries the nutrients to the arm, and that arm will go weaker. Secondly, I must not exercise that arm. Two things, I must not feed it, must not exercise it. And in so doing, that arm will go weaker and weaker, and in the end, it'll be impossible to move. Well, that's the key to dealing with some of these lusts of the flesh. You know, you don't feed them. How do you feed lusts? Well, it's through the eyes, looking at pictures and so forth that one shouldn't look at, pornography, listening to pornographic things, touching things that are pornographic. See, that stimulates these sins. And then, of course, you must not practice them. And in so doing, you know, they'll grow weaker and weaker. And in the end, all desire for that sin will disappear. And then he looks at some of the others and he says in verse 8 of Colossians chapter 3, he said, put off anger, wrath, evil speaking. Some of the things as a Christian we have power to do. We have power to put off anger. We have power to put off lying. We have power to put off blasphemy, like putting off a coat. And he said, that is the way. And then, you see, holiness is not just negative, in the sense when you don't do those things, but holiness is very vibrant. And he goes on to say, but after putting those things off, after dealing with those sins and the lust, he then goes on to say this, put on, verse 10, put on the new man, put on the new man. And then he continues by saying some of the things that one can put on. And we continue, and we look at now verse 12. He said, put on the bowels of mercy, kindness, humility of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and love, which is the bond of perfection. So holiness is by faith, you know, not feeding these lusts of the flesh, putting off anger, putting off lying and the like, and then putting on these garments, these spiritual garments, bowels of mercies, kindness, forbearance, long-suffering, and love. She said, that is true holiness. And in so doing, you know, we shall achieve what we want, to be holy like he is holy. And don't forget, this is what the Word of God says. This is what Jesus said. You know, be ye holy even as I am holy. See? And that's repeated by Peter. And it's a quotation from the Old Testament. God wants us to be like him. What is the nature of God? Well, God is love. So we must be filled with love. But God is holy. And holiness is separation from sin. And if you don't preach sin and its evil consequences, how are people going to be stirred up to say, yes, I want to get rid of this. This is evil. But if you don't mention those things, you're going to cause people to continue to live in sin. And at the end of their life, they'll go down into hell. You'll be deceiving them. So you must preach the evils of sin. Well, now then, let me continue. And, Paul makes this wonderful, shall I say, statement. And he's going to compare Abraham and Christ. And essentially, Abraham was a friend of God. Abraham believed God. He was the father of the faithful. And God gave him many, many promises. But in Galatians, this is what the Apostle Paul said. He said, if ye are Christ's, then are ye of the seed of Abraham, your father. And then he continues by saying, now look, if you're of the seed of Abraham, then you are going to inherit the blessings of Abraham. In other words, you are going to be the beneficiary of having Abraham as your father. Abraham was a friend of God. And here is the great promise that God gives. And we're looking at chapter 4 and verse 7. He said, wherefore, ye are no longer servants, but sons. You see, this is the beautiful thing that Jesus said to his apostles. He said, henceforth, I call you no more servants. For the servant doesn't know what the master is doing. But I call you my friends. My friends. See, Abraham was a friend of God. And if we are Christ's, we are also of the seed of Abraham. And we can come into this beautiful, position of being also a friend of God. And what does a friend do? What a friend reveals to his friend what he's going to do. And this is what the Lord said concerning Abraham. He was going down to judge Sodom and Gomorrah, homosexuality. And he said this, can I do this without sharing with my friend Abraham what I'm going to do? And you see, this is a beautiful position, that if we walk in holiness, if we walk in faith, if we obey the Lord, we enter in to this glorious relationship with the Lord that Abraham had. God shared with Abraham what he was going to do. And you see, this is what God wants to do with you. He wants to share with you the things he's going to do, but also the plans that he's got for your own life. And you see, this is the beauty of this Galatian epistle. It brings us out from mixture and brings us out into the clarity and purity of the gospel again. And look what it's offering us, that we will inherit the blessings of Abraham. Well, one of those blessings was friendship with God. Another, God spoke to Abraham, he said, in blessing, I will bless you. And, the Apostle Paul mentions in Ephesians, in chapter 1, he said, the Lord hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And God will bless you. In blessing, I will bless you. And then he goes on to Abraham and says, well, in multiplying, I will multiply you. And you see, that is true prosperity. Relationship with Jesus. And in that relationship, you enter into a position of friendship with him, and he shares his thoughts with you, perhaps concerning your children. You see, and that was another thing that God mentioned concerning Abraham. He will bring his children into obedience of the faith. And that's what you must do. You must train your children up into the ways of the gospel, like Abraham did. And because of that, see, God said, I will bless Abraham. Yes, if you order your house aright, all these blessings will come upon you. And I want to encourage you as we close this session. You know that we understand that God has many wonderful things for those who will walk in the way of faith, walking in the light as he is in the light. And I can tell you there's no finer life. And for 80 years I've been experiencing this. And I thank God for what is awaiting me, a crown of righteousness that God will give to you if you will walk uprightly with him. And so as we close, may I pray that God will give you the blessing of Abraham. In blessing I will bless you. Multiplying I will multiply you. And I will share my secrets with you. You will become not my servant, but my friend. And that is what God is offering you. God bless you.